Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded. From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with Family Doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office. Although, Zorba, we're missing the fake plastic trees.
I'm not
trees.
Virtual. The office may be virtual, but I'm not virtual. Yeah, right. No, I'm real.
We're missing the guy coughing next to you usually.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, we'll talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails. And today, we'll even do a little Name That Tune music trivia.
Ooh,
so stay tuned for that.
Name That Tune.
Yeah, get your music.
That was a show from the 50s,
it
by
was.
The way.
Didn't they counted down the notes, right?
Like, no, what happened is they played a tune and then you ran down. There were three contestants.
Okay.
And you ran down like a hallway. It wasn't a hallway. And they were in three lines. And whoever rang the bell first was the one to name that tune.
The show I remember seeing, maybe it was a later iteration of it, was they would kind of wager back and forth. Two contestants would say, I can name that tune in five notes. And then the other contestant would say, can name that tune in four notes.
That was a different
notes.
Show. That was probably because of insurance, because people probably fell when they were running down there. Hey, let's get on with the show.
We have actually a show to do
here.
We can
name that show instead of name the tune.
If you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, Zorba, we're going to have a few healthy living topics.
Well, we're going to talk about, people have written me a lot, how do you navigate between traditional allopathic medicine and complementary alternative medicine? How do we kind of use the best of both worlds? And they really are different worlds. They have a remember Venn diagrams from high school, they intersect at certain areas. But I'll talk about what I do to navigate that. And then COVID symptoms don't seem to bother certain people. Are they sort of, you know, why are they ones that are sort of super dodgers who never seem to get COVID? And are there any secrets for those super dodgers that actually do that? The Artful Dodger. Do you remember the Artful Dodger?
Sure, from Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist, the Artful Dodgers. These are COVID
the best pickpocket around.
Dodgers. Yeah. That's right.
And what's the special recipe we got here?
Gluten-free chicken stir fry. For those of our listeners who love gluten-free and happen to love chicken and stir-fry, this recipe is for you.
All right. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. Once again, that's 800-462-7413. Let's welcome now our first caller. This is a listener in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi there. You know, back in late April, I went on my first camping trip of the year, It was a cold one. We cut the trip day short because of a little bit of snow that we received. But I went.
Wait
home
a minute! Snow in Wisconsin in April?
Come on.
I mean, really? It never snows in Wisconsin in April, right?
So the next day, I started feeling just a little achy, and I was just in my bed the whole day. I had a mid-grade fever, a little over 100 degrees, I believe. Noticed some swollen like lymph nodes, and ultimately just felt really off. I went to the doctor about 3 days later because the symptoms were still kind of lingering, and I had some pain in my groin as well. So the doctors weren't quite sure. They were a little concerned that maybe I had been exposed to a tick-borne illness. So I did a 10-day prescription of doxycycline, and started feeling a little bit better. I would say I was back to my normal activities of hitting the gym, going out camping again when the weather was a little bit nicer. But like I would say 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, it seemed like the symptoms started returning and I just started feeling a lot of achiness. And when I would go do any sort of physical activity, those muscles were really sore for a few days.
I'm used to
being sore after a typical workout. But this just felt a little different. So we went back to the doctor again, and they thought maybe the doxycycline that I was on, that antibiotic, might not have done the job for epididymitis because I still had the pain in my groin. So we did a 10-day course of another antibiotic called Bactrim. Feeling okay, but just still really achy. And at that time, I started noticing that the lymph nodes in my groin were really getting swollen. So we got a little nervous about that. I had, throughout this entire time, I had lost about 10 to 15 pounds.
Wow. That's a lot of weight loss.
It is.
And you had fatigue also? Lots of fatigue?
Yeah, lots of fatigue.
Yeah. So what happened next?
Well, we went and we did a biopsy on the lymph nodes, and that came back clean. And I actually started going to the infectious disease at UW because I'd seen the doctor so many times. And we've ran a, you know, every single tick-borne illness test, and those all came back negative.
And did did they check you for mono?
They did run the Epstein-Barr virus test, which is about the same, right?
Well, yeah, the B test will check you for mono. That's the difference. Is that negative?
So, well, we had the antibodies were really high.
Well, that's, I mean, first of all, mononucleosis, Epstein-Barr, which is caused by the Epstein-Barr virus, can cause fatigue. It can cause, you know, people, I mean, I remember I had a friend who dropped out of medical school for like 2 months because she had mono and it was terrible. She had fatigue. She had swollen lymph nodes all over her body, in her groin, in her arms, underneath her armpits, you know, in her, you know, you can have it, of course, underneath that. And Epstein-Barr can cause you extreme fatigue, loss of appetite, and you have no energy at all. So your EB virus was up there. It was high. What'd they say about that?
But they said because one of them was showing negative, that they didn't think it was that. But we didn't take the EBV test until about 6 or 7 weeks
and
until my symptoms started. And I've had one doctor that said, this is an obvious case of mono.
It sounds like mono. Sounds like mono. And, smells like mono. Seems like it's mono. And the other doctor said they weren't sure?
The other doctor said that because one of the tests was negative, that he didn't think that's what was causing this.
Okay. You want to know what's going on. You'd like a clear answer. You'd like a yes or a no.
This sounds like a Judge Zorba right now.
Yeah, this actually it is. Wait a minute.
You don't have your gavel.
Here, I'll use my hand.
Two doctors here.
I vote for mono. It sounds like mono. It smells like mono. I vote for mono. I don't think you need any other test. So first of all, nothing is exact in science, really. It is. It's not exact, you know. So we, you know, we do a test like a quick strep test, and we say, well, 98% chance you have strep. It's not 100%. You know, we then say we're going to do a culture. We do a culture. It might be 98%. It's not 100%. Nothing, pretty much nothing is 100%. If I drop a book on the floor, it's 100% that it's on the floor, you know, because I dropped it and I look on the floor. But when it comes to medical tests, it's not 100%. What you have sounds like mono. And the issue is they thought it might be Lyme disease. I think it was a logical thing to do. They should have, in my mind, you know, when you have swollen lymph nodes, you just do a mono test right away. Way, if you think about it, because it's a very common, mono is really very common. But anyway, they treated you twice. And ehrlichiosis, I can't remember. I think doxycycline, I'd have to look it up. I would always look it up if somebody were positive for ehrlichiosis, which is another spirochete. That's the kind of bug, type disease like with Lyme disease. And then once again, if it's early, the tests are not necessarily positive. They might not be positive until a month later. But it sounds like the test repeated. You went to a doctor, then you went to an ID doc. They said whatever they said, but looks like mono, sounds like mono. I think it's mono. Mono can take a long time. Read about it. It just takes a long time to recover from it. I don't really believe that there's a long-term EB virus. There's some people who go, I had mono and I'm fatigued forever from mono. I don't see any evidence that that actually is the case, although there are many people who disagree with me on that, so I respect their judgment, but my read of the science, it isn't there, but I think you had mono. Does that help?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'm a long-time listener.
Thank you.
Love the show.
And thanks for your call. Thanks for sharing it.
Thanks for the call at 800-462-7413. All right, before we get into our first topic, Zorba, we always appreciate when our listeners chime in and lend their ideas for what to discuss on the show. So here's an email from a listener named Dan who writes, "Hi, Zorba. I was wondering if you'd be able to do a program to bring to light alternative medicine, especially regarding Parkinson's disease. I was diagnosed with moderately severe Parkinson's about 4 months ago. I probably had it my whole life," Dan says. "The neurologist gave me the standard medicine, which had no effect. So then they doubled the dose. This made me dysfunctional as a human. I couldn't eat, sleep, or comprehend what my wife would say to me. It seemed like she was talking backwards. So I do other therapies that are not standard. Infrared light therapy, which I figured out by accident, just trying to ease the pain from the tremors. Then I watched YouTube and found out It's a real thing. My aunt told me about vitamin B1 therapy, so I did some research, tried that. Mm-hmm. I now have just mild tremors, and my thoughts are clearer than they have been my entire life. Massage therapy and acupuncture help as well, but insurance doesn't cover those, of course. To me, it seems like Big Pharma is snuffing therapies that give real relief for many diseases. So, Zorba, you're a traditionally trained doctor. Yeah. How do you navigate traditional medicine versus alternative complementary medicine?
Well, first of all, you got to look at some things. Let's say you've got an acute appendicitis. You're going to die unless you get that taken care of with an antibiotic or surgery. So that's kind of one aspect. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's one aspect. Or I happen to have know of a patient now. She had cervical cancer, proven cervical cancer, and she just did alternative therapy, and she is now dying of cervical cancer. And she probably would have lived because she could have had surgery, had a little chemo. It's a very curable cancer when caught early. So did alternative therapy solely by herself. Another neighbor, she had ovarian cancer, and she decided she was going to use prayer to take care of ovarian cancer. Her friend said prayer is good, but prayer and chemo are even better. She didn't have chemo. Just before she was basically in hospice, she said, "I'll try chemo," and lived for like 6 to 9 months. So she was it was a cancer that really was there. So I think of them as complementary. In fact, I use it complementary and alternative medicine. You can use both. Now, Parkinsonism, we don't know exactly what causes it at all. It's a defect in something called the substantia nigra, which is in our brain. I don't think he had it for his whole life. You know, this person is saying, you know, my thinking is better. But Parkinson comes when it's later on. Unless you've got tremors, something called cogwheel rigidity, you know, it hasn't been there your whole life. But sometimes the medicines work for people, and sometimes they don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And this is where complementary and alternative medicine really shine, like Tai Chi. You know, 30 years ago as a doctor, if I said, "Let's go to Tai Chi," they'd say, "What are you, wacko? Where does Tai Chi come from?" And, you know, because we don't want Tai Chi, we want physical therapy. Mm-hmm. Well, physical therapists were probably very interested in also doing Tai Chi. Great for balance. And there is a number of other things that are also useful. Infrared light therapy for pain. My grandfather had tuberculosis. Part of his lung was removed. Every night when he came home from work, he lived with us for a number of years. He would have pain in his shoulder. He used infrared light on his shoulder, and it really worked. And it's a heat lamp. How many times have I prescribed a heat lamp for people? Guess.
I haven't heard it a whole lot.
Never. I've never done that. I don't even know why I haven't thought about it. When you have pain, put it on heat. Do you know what an infrared light heat lamp looks like?
Does it look like the thing that warms your food in like a fast food restaurant or a
buffet? That's right. No, that's exactly right.
Really?
That's an infrared light. You can buy it at the hardware store. You can put it in a gooseneck lamp, and it'll go on your shoulder, and it will help with your pain. Why don't we use that? Well, we don't use it because we'd rather give ibuprofen and say ibuprofen will work for your pain. We are, as doctors, regular allopathic doctors, pharmaceutically oriented. So I think when you're searching for a doc, first of all, if you want to use alternative and complementary therapy, don't think your doctor has any knowledge in that. Don't even think that. I mean, maybe they've got some special training, but if they don't have special training, then what you want to do is you want to have two people that take care of you. You want to compliment a doctor who is your allopathic doctor and a doctor who knows complementary and alternative therapy, maybe a naturopath or maybe an osteopath who's been trained in that, and then use both of them. And then you want to make sure that they both respect each other. You want to have an alternative therapist who says, "Oh, don't take that high blood pressure pill. It's no good for you because you might get a stroke." And then you don't want a doctor who then says, "Oh, don't use massage therapy because that's not going to do anything because the fact is it may relieve your pain or acupuncture." So you really want to have either one person who knows both, or my idea is you want to have two people, because I know my tool chest. And my tool chest is to respect alternative healers, not to disparage them.
Right.
But I only have limited training in that area.
800-462-7413. Call anytime. Leave a voicemail. That's 800-462-7413. And speaking of voicemails, let's go to one now. This is a listener in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Hi. Long-time listener, really enjoy your show. I want to just thank Zorba and Tom and Carl for all your hard work all these years.
Nice.
The reason why I'm calling is because my ears pricked up when you said not to take a multivitamin with iron. I have always been on the very edge of being anemic. I'm past menopause. I'm 73 years old, and I have continued with this problem all my life. Oftentimes, I can't get blood because my iron count is too low. Now, of course, that's higher than the minimum for being healthy, so I haven't really tried to treat it. However, I was curious to know why you think that we should not take a vitamin with iron, especially for a woman and especially for someone like me. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Good question. So let me clarify. First of all, if you're a menstruating woman, taking a multivitamin with iron may be just what you need because you have to replace the blood, the iron from the blood you lose during menstruation. But I mean, if you, first of all, so if you're donating blood, you definitely need iron to build back the blood that you're donating. Now, let's look at normals. When we draw normals, there's normal for a population. So someone may be, quote, anemic their whole life, but they're actually not anemic. That's their normal blood count. Mm. And as we get older, often our blood count gets less and less. If you look at the normals are made for people of a certain age. So they're really not made for people who are 70 or 80 or 90. Mm. And then we look at the normals. They're not adjusted for race. So they may be different in black and brown and white. Mm. And they're not adjusted for a whole bunch of other things. So when we do a test, the doctor says, well, you're anemic. Well, you may not be anemic really, because it may be just your normal. But one of the reasons we say not to take iron with it is the fact that if you become all of a sudden anemic, in other words, all of a sudden your blood count drops, we then want to know that because it may be often from colon cancer. That's the most common thing. But if she's been anemic her whole life and she's taken a multivitamin with iron her whole life, I don't see any reason to stop it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes. And because we worry about colon cancer, just get checked on a regular basis with Cologuard or by having a colonoscopy. So I take back my universal don't do it, but I want to remind you, your normal may be different from the normal, we'll say, from a woman who's 35 years of age, but the blood test in the lab looks the same.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Before the break, Zorba, let's pry open the always overstuffed Zorba Passer on your health inbox and take an email from a listener in Manhattan, Kansas, who listens to the show on 89.5 FM, Radio Kansas. They write, Dr. Pastor, I would appreciate your thoughts on implants for controlling the frequency of urination. I had one implanted about 8 months ago, and I'm disappointed with its performance. I still urinate every 2 hours. I would greatly appreciate your thoughts on these devices.
Well, these are electronic devices that are used supposedly to help stop, sort of like a device that's used for a pacemaker. Mm. I mean, that's one kind of an implant. And they work for some people and they don't work for others. I mean, that's the long and the short of it. And the problem is with people that urinate all the time, it's a sensation that you're actually trying to stop that sensation, you know, from happening, or you're trying to get the bladder to empty completely. Mm-hmm. And they're just plus minus. I guess that's the best explanation. We have pills on the market that sometimes work. Pills can be useful. Of course, you know, working with the prostate and reducing the size of the prostate can help. But it's a big issue. And it's a big issue in men and in women. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is go to any Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, Target, and go down the aisle that's labeled adult incontinence, mm-hmm. and you'll see how big the problem is. It's a big problem, and we have limited resources. So from an advice point of view, it didn't work for you. It may work for others, and it's something we have to be careful of using. But we certainly are not at top of our game when it comes to that problem.
Thanks for that email, listener in Manhattan, Kansas. And really quickly, and maybe not so quickly, I just want to talk about Manhattan, Kansas for a minute. It's a pretty cool place. I've been there a couple times.
You have?
I've been there.
Really?
Yeah. It's
Manhattan, Kansas.
Manhattan, Kansas. That's where Kansas State University is there.
Yeah. What brought you to Manhattan, Kansas?
A band I played with would tour around the country.
And the name of the
we
band?
Ended up in Manhattan, Kansas.
The name
a
of the
couple
band?
Icarus himself.
Gotcha. Icarus himself.
Now we're
that's a cool
no
name.
Longer
I like
playing.
The name.
You like
I like
that?
The name.
You
yeah.
do like the name.
The whole sun thing, right?
Yeah, right.
Sun thing wax.
Close to the sun.
Yeah, got it.
Wings melted.
Got it. The whole thing.
There's.
You gonna sing a song from there now?
I was not the singer in the band, so no,
okay.
I won't.
Okay. You gonna strum something? Come on.
I don't have any instruments on me except for this pen in my hand.
So what's the song of Manhattan, Kansas?
That's a good question. But there's some interesting things about Manhattan, Kansas.
Okay.
Notable people born in Manhattan, Kansas. Mm-hmm. You know, Jordy Nelson? Remember the Packers wide receiver?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, Manhattan, Kansas. Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira.
Elvira.
The Mistress of the Night. Remember Elvira?
Who knew? Who knew?
And then this one's for all the music nerds out there. Yeah. Tom Oberheim.
I've never heard of that.
I bet you've never heard of Tom Oberheim.
I've heard of the word Tom, but I haven't heard of Oberheim.
Yeah. So, Oberheim synthesizers. This guy invented the Oberheim synthesizer, which I'm sure you've heard before.
Really?
It's on all kinds of songs from the late 70s, 80s, pop songs. You want it? So I made a little supercut, of course, of some very famous Oberheim synthesizer heavy songs. Any listeners listening right now, try to keep track of, and if you can name some of these songs. So, Brad, let's hear some of those. So there it is. Those are all Oberheim synthesizers.
But you know
on those
what?
Songs.
I've never thought about the synthesizer as being part of the sound.
Oh, yeah. Sound of the 80s sound. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of came in and went out. What does it look like? Let's put it on the website.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty cool. We'll have more of your calls, more emails, and we'll dive into a gluten-free chicken stir-fry recipe, all coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen in the studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. The number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before we get back to the phone, Zorba, what's this recipe? We got gluten-free chicken stir-fry.
Right, right. And are you gluten? You're not gluten-free.
I'm not gluten-free.
Yeah. And I'm not
full
gluten-free.
Full of gluten.
But there are a number of people where either they're seriously gluten-free or they just feel better when they don't have gluten. So this is a good example of a wonderful recipe that you could use. And even if you're not gluten-free, it's still a great recipe.
We've had a lot of requests, too, from listeners for let's hear some more gluten-free recipes.
So we start out with 4 ounces of boneless, skinless chicken breast. 2 tablespoonfuls of gluten-free reduced sodium soy sauce.
2 big T gluten-free reduced sodium soy sauce.
Now, I don't know if my soy sauce is made with gluten or not that I use.
I don't either.
I don't really know the answer to that. So what I think you should do, especially if you have gluten intolerance, is go to the web, look up gluten-free soy sauce, look at those that particular soy sauce and get that. 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger.
1/2 little tea ground ginger.
1/4 teaspoon garlic powder.
1/4 little tea garlic powder.
3 tablespoonfuls of oil we're going to use. 2 cups of broccoli florets.
2 cups broccoli florets.
Should be fresh. 1 cup of bean sprouts.
1 cup of bean sprouts.
If you can get bean sprouts fresh, usually at an Asian grocery store, that's the stuff to use. 1/2 cup of red pepper diced.
1/2 cup of red pepper diced.
1 cup of thinly sliced carrots.
1 cup thinly sliced carrots.
A small onion that is chopped.
A small onion chopped.
A garlic clove that is minced.
1 clove of minced garlic.
Now, for the sauce, 1 cup of reduced sodium chicken broth, gluten-free. As far as I know, chicken broth has no gluten in it, but once again, read the label. It'll tell you whether or not there's gluten in there. I've never seen that before.
1 cup gluten-free reduced sodium chicken broth.
1/4 cup again of reduced sodium soy sauce. Once again, see how it's made. Make sure it's gluten-free.
Sounds good.
and a tablespoon and a half of cornstarch.
1.5 big T cornstarch.
Let's make it. So put the chicken in half-inch strips. You want to cut it in. You want to cut that chicken half-inch strips. Put it in a plastic bag. Then combine the soy sauce, ground ginger, garlic powder. Add it to the bag. Shake it well. Let it marinate in the refrigerator for at least 30 minutes. You can put it in overnight, too. It's not going to make a difference, but at least 30 minutes. Then in a large skillet or wok, heat 2 tablespoons of, once again, the oil that you're going to use. Sauté the chicken. Fry it until it's no longer pink. That's going to take about 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Just look at it. Then, once again, take it out. Add the remaining oil. Stir fry the broccoli, bean sprouts, red pepper, carrots, onion, and garlic 4 to 5 minutes. I always add the garlic just a minute before I'm finished because I think it has a better taste and better flavor to it. And then return the chicken to the wok. And then what you're going to do is, in a large measuring cup, you can do it beforehand, whisk together the chicken broth, soy sauce, and cornstarch. And once again, I do that before. If you do it before, you're going to have to stir it up a bit. Pour it into the wok. Continue stirring until the sauce thickens. And that's when the cornstarch is bubbling. Serve it over noodles and rice or on the side. You've got a great recipe. Gluten-free chicken stir fry.
That sounds tasty.
And if you want a copy,
yeah,
come to our website, zorbapastor.org. That's zorbapastor.org. Or through Facebook, my mouth is watering.
Yes.
I can smell that chicken.
I can see it watering.
As we
just
talk.
Just kidding. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, back to those calls now. This is a listener with us in Shorewood, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Zorba. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
So I have pulsatile tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I hear my heartbeat.
Yes.
I hear, it actually sounds kind of like a truck backing up inside of my right ear.
Mm-hmm. I can. By the way, I have tinnitus, so I can relate to that. I can relate to these sounds.
Yeah, this is, I mean, they say pulsatile tinnitus isn't like the same as regular tinnitus.
Right.
There is a physical reason why it's doing that. In my case, I have a type 1 dural AV fistula.
Mm-hmm. So an AV fistula is basically the arteries and the veins connect with capillaries. And an AV fistula means the artery is actually, it's sort of like a superhighway into the veins. That's the way to think of it. And so you're hearing your heart basically because it's this loud rumbling sound in your sinuses.
Yeah.
How long have you had it for, by the way? I mean, these are things you're born with usually.
My doctor actually said it's not genetic.
Oh.
It was probably caused by an injury, I guess.
Oh, okay.
It started 2 years ago.
Oh, what was your injury? And by the way, thanks for educating me. I mean, I don't know everything by any means. What was your injury?
I've learned way too much over the last 2 years. I'd rather not know.
Your brain is just filled. That's right. It's just filled, starting to leak out. Got it.
Yeah. So about 2 years ago, I started hearing this whooshing sound.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly when I'd wake up in the morning, I'd have my head on the pillow.
Okay.
And it was just this little whoosh, whoosh, you know, not a whole lot. I went to my doctor, and he said, it's nothing. It's just your blood vessel, you know, going behind your ear. And so I kind of tried to ignore it. And, you know, about a couple of months later, it just kept getting louder.
Getting louder, right. By the way, I can hear my heart if I lay on my left side. Can you hear your heart at all?
Not usually, no.
Oh, I can hear my heart. I've been doing that since I was a kid.
Wow.
If I lay in just the right way, I can hear my heart. And I can't go to sleep that way. I have to go to sleep at different ways. I've had that since birth.
Well, maybe you have pulsatile tinnitus.
No, I may have that. No, in all seriousness, I may have it. In fact, I just actually thought it was normal until this moment that if you lay it just the right way, you can hear your heart. I've never talked about this to anyone, including my wife of 50 years. I've never told her that if I lay one way in the bed, I move because I can hear my... Brad, can you hear your heart if you lay down in the bed in a certain way? Clearly, you and I share something. Obviously, if he doesn't, I'm going to have to go to the doctor. But maybe I do have something that's very, who knows? Anyway, please, go on.
So I was hearing that, and I went to an ENT doctor then, because but okay, maybe it's something in my ear.
Of course.
And they did all kinds of tests, and no, everything's fine. And at that point, if I did a neti pot, mm-hmm. I noticed that it cleared up.
Oh.
Well, because it would also be like if I'd change positions, like if I'd
in bed.
Put my head down, I'd hear it. And then I'd do a neti pot, and I could put my head down, and I wouldn't hear it. So, and then that went on for a number of months, and then it just started getting really loud. And it would, like, wake me up in the middle of the night.
So did they they did an MRI scan, right?
Yeah. So at that point, I started really Googling stuff and found, well, there's a website called Wooshers.com, which is
there's a website for everything. That's right next to the website of pushers.com, but that's a different website.
That's a different website.
Oh, well,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You can even get a t-shirt, I guess, from it. I had to make
a joke. I'm sorry. I had Carl laugh. It's hard to get him to laugh. So,
oh,
you know,
really?
Yeah, it's hard to get him to laugh.
I'm very healthy. I'm not overweight. I'm going to be 70 this year, but I'm totally healthy.
So the MRI scan showed this.
Mm-hmm. It showed something. Mm-hmm.
So they put an order in for the type of test that needed to be ordered to look at the scan.
And I was able to do them here.
Got it. Sure.
And then after they got the results, I was able to do a Zoom meeting with the doctor.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So what did they say?
So it showed this possible dural AV fistula, and so then I did have to go down. I went to Edwards Hospital in Chicago.
On the north.
And had an angiogram.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't do that over Zoom, unfortunately.
No. So they put the dye in and made the diagnosis?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's a type 1 dural AV fistula, which is really good, which means I'm not at increased risk for stroke.
For stroke, that's always the issue with anything, any AV fistula. So you don't need surgery.
I don't need surgery, but then that means that I get to just live with the beeping.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask a few questions, because the surgery would be a rather extensive surgery, I take it, right?
No, they can do two different things. They can either go through the, just like an angiogram,
mm-hmm.
They go through the same, up the artery.
And block
it. And then they block it off with Onyx, which is like a glue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they can put glue in there, but in my case, they can't do the glue because it's too close to a nerve. So they're going to, he would put in coils and particles.
Coils, and particles. Let me ask a question. First of all, are you going to have it done?
I did not have it yet. I signed up for it. I was going to have it in March, and then my daughter had a baby in May, and I'm a caregiver for my dad, who is going to be 101 in September.
Gee.
And I just don't want to, right now I can't take the time.
The time, and there's always a risk, with any procedure. Now, let me ask a question. Are you on a blood pressure pill?
No.
So one question is whether or not a beta blocker, beta blockers are very interesting. They reduce the pulse a bit. And they're used in a whole bunch of other things besides high blood pressure, post-op, myocardial infarction, heart attacks. But they're used also to reduce the pulse for some people. And the question I would have is, would a low dose of a beta blocker actually reduce the impression of the sound to you? A very low dose, like 12.5 milligrams of a drug called atenolol, half of a 25 milligram tablet. I might try that out and see if that would make a difference. And see whether or not it would reduce your thoughts about it. And the reason I mention it is beta blockers are very good for stage fright.
Wow.
And if a low-dose beta blocker got you to not think about it, maybe you might consider whether or not you're going to do the surgery, but it might help in the short run. You've got the long run and the short run. So I would look, I would look at a beta blocker. Then I would look at how you position yourself in bed. So you don't, pillows and otherwise, because of that. There's always the possibility of cognitive behavioral therapy, where you learn not to think about it. So that's another possibility. So I would look at these non-surgical things, because you're not going to have surgery right now anyway. And if the beta blocker got rid of the sensation, if you said, man, this beta blocker doesn't bother me anymore, maybe you're one and done.
I will look into that.
Try the beta blocker. Let's see if it works. And please let us know.
I will look into
that.
Let
us know, please.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Love your show. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, before we take a short break, Zorba, we always appreciate our listeners posting on the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page. So time again for Facebook feedback.
Facebook feedback.
All right, Zorba, lots of Facebook action on the page lately. So this is going to be a Facebook feedback double shot, okay? First, we're going to hear from Rick in Springfield, Missouri. And no, not Rick Springfield, the singer. This is Rick in Springfield, who writes, "Since I started using the small interdental brushes to clean between my teeth after meals, I feel uncomfortable until I have a chance to clean out the food left between teeth after meals. They work much better for me than floss, and my mouth feels cleaner after using them.
Absolutely.
I no longer have significant plaque on my teeth when I go for a cleaning session. I am usually in and out of the cleaning session after 10 to 15 minutes or so in the dentist chair."
Fabulous.
Do you use those things?
Oh, I love them. I might start trying those. Have you ever tried?
Never tried. I have my floss, but I've never tried the little brushes.
I can't get my hands in my mouth. I don't like doing it. I got to pull this in the corner. No, I used a little. I didn't floss regularly until I got these little dental things.
Okay.
They're great. They're awesome.
All right. Finally, Carol in Oklahoma sent us this message. "I just wanted to add something to Dr. Pastor's recommendation to use mineral-based sunscreens versus chemical sunscreens."
Right.
We had a sunscreen topic a while ago. "Researchers believe coral reefs are being damaged by the use of chemical sunscreens, and they recommend the mineral-based ones. Mm-hmm. So they're healthier for the user and for the planet."
Oh, that's pretty good.
Keep up the great work. I love the show.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because what she's talking about is the fact there are two types of sunscreens. Some are mineral sunscreens, such as zinc oxide, and they block the sun. Those are like when you see white noses on lifeguards.
Sure.
And most of the children's sunscreens are exactly that. And the other are chemical sunscreens that absorb the light, so they work in a completely different manner. Mm. And so she's talking about one is really safer from the environment than others, and I didn't realize that. So thank you for letting us know that.
As always, thanks for all the Facebook comments. And if you have a healthy living question for the good doc, just post on our Facebook page, or you can always send us an old-fashioned email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls to come, more of your emails, and we'll dig into another interesting healthy living topic. All that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in the studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. The number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. But before we get back to the phone, Zorba, with some new research here about COVID symptoms seem to never touch certain people. Why is this?
Well, that's been a good question, you know, and that goes with a lot of viral syndromes. You know, a lot of people, they just don't get sick. They don't have viruses, and other people really get sick all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really fully understand it, but clearly part of it is the genome, what you're actually born with. Do you get sick a lot with viruses from your kids?
Not often at all,
Do your
actually.
Kids get sick?
The normal amount. I think at this point,
but they bring it home
kids,
and you don't all of a sudden catch it and get sick.
Once in a great while, but I feel like we've been exposed to a lot. Yeah.
Well, we are. And I remember when I was in pediatrics and I was in training that everyone always said, when you go into pediatrics and training, you're going to get sick a lot, which is true. I remember doing that. And my wife was an elementary school teacher, and I'm sure she got sick when she first did that. And then eventually you build up immunity. But there's a new study that has to do with COVID, and it has to do with what they are now calling super dodgers. So, first of all, it's published in the journal Nature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that journal.
I've heard of Nature.
So Nature and Science are two major journals like the New England Journal of Medicine. And you've got to look at where things are published, because people say published in a scientific journal, and some of them are junk science and they're junk journals. This is a really good journal, which means it has peer review and it's really, really important. What they discovered is that people who they call now super dodgers appear to have a genetic mutation in their immune system, which supports something called the human leukocyte antigen, allowing virus cells, killing cells, to identify the coronavirus. So basically, they've got their lights on to look at antibodies, for the coronavirus before we normal humans have it.
Okay.
So in other words, we have to get sick, and then the T cells go in our body, and they say, hey, you're sick. Let's identify the coronavirus and get rid of it. Well, these people identify it before we do.
They're thinking ahead already.
They're thinking ahead. That's right. The cells are thinking ahead. They have a huge advantage. Well, this is really interesting. It's really interesting about, they think about 10%, at least, of the study's population has this. But, I mean, this may be a way of identifying people who actually identify things sooner than others. And the reason why this has major implications is we believe that cancer cells in the body are simply not identified in the body to kill them. This has been the theory for the last 50 years, 60 years. And if we can identify this with coronavirus, these super dodgers, maybe we can identify what other super dodgers are with cancer cells, and maybe that will ultimately lead to a cure for cancer. And believe it or not, that's the gold standard of immunology. So the super dodgers for coronavirus might also give us implications on how we can get super dodgers for cancer.
Very interesting new research. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Let's go back to those calls now. This is a listener with us in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi.
Hi. I was recently diagnosed with severe arthritis from C5 to C7 in my cervical vertebrae and into T1. And I try to keep a good fitness regimen. I walk a lot. It's not uncommon for me to do a mile to a mile and a half without ever leaving the house. But I wanted to ask, what would be some, you know, I don't do a lot of weightlifting. I do some, not necessarily to bulk up or anything, but more so just to keep the muscles working and strong in my neck and my delts and so forth.
Uh-huh.
What would be a good workout, things that I can do now that I've gotten this diagnosis?
Oh, sure. So how old are you, by the way?
I'm 53.
Okay, 53. And you went in really to the diagnosis because you were having pain or discomfort.
When I was younger, I had a dislocated shoulder in a dirt bike accident.
I can relate. I've had surgery, both my shoulders dislocated. Believe me, I understand that on a gut basis. Not fun.
Because I had a partial dislocation just about 3 weeks ago, and it was just kind of a weird situation, but I'm used to it happening. So it's, you know, I pull, twist.
Right. I can relate. What caused you to go to a doctor? Was it pain or discomfort?
I was getting, not necessarily pain, but I was noticing that certain movements in my neck and shoulders was generating a popping sound.
Got it.
It wasn't audible to anybody else but me. It was, you know, that bone conduction of
you
sound.
You bet. So what are you taking something for it right now?
I was originally prescribed gabapentin, but quite frankly, it really wasn't doing anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been taking cyclobenzaprine.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that helped? That's a muscle relaxer.
Celecoxib,
which is an anti-inflammatory. Good combination. Has it worked? Has that helped?
Well, I just take Tylenol. I don't really like taking any form of opioids.
Sure. They're not opioids, but taking something every single day, you know, that can be bothersome. You don't necessarily want to do it. So how can I help you?
Well, I really want to know what can I do that is relatively low impact that will still that will allow me to strengthen the core muscles in that area to really support and, you know, I guess counteract as much as possible the arthritis.
So what I would recommend, first of all, I would not recommend surgery initially, because I would say I don't want to do surgery unless conservative therapy fails.
So yeah, it would be last resort for me.
I think it should be the last resort for anyone, and a good surgeon is going to say, well, have you gone to physical therapy? And that's what I would recommend, and I'll tell you why. You want to go to a physical therapist because they will then look at your neck, look at the x-rays or the MRI or CAT scan, whatever you had done, and they can give you exercises to do and also tell you what exercises not to do. PTs are great. Also, physicians who are trained in sports medicine, in addition to PT, are really good. And saying, what can you do? What can I lift? What can I not lift? What can I actually do with my body? Because what you want to do is you want to be an expert with your body for your arthritis on what's going to work for you and what's going to be safe. And that's the answer. And for that, you really need hands-on. I often tell people to go to YouTube. I've got a few YouTube sites that I like to use. But in your case, I would recommend hands-on PT. And you've got to go at least twice. And I'll tell you why. First time, they'll tell you what to do and what not to do. And the second time you go, you'll forget about half the things you remember the first time. So you've got to go with
tactile learner.
We all do. Quick learner, quick forgetter. But PT is really the way to go. Now, Flexeril, which is cyclobenzaprine, is really good. It helps to sleep for a lot of people. It's a muscle relaxer that works. And celecoxib, which is Celebrex, which is an anti-inflammatory, which is good. They're very good drugs. They're good in the short run. But once again, you want to see what you can do in the long run to keep from getting pain so you don't have to take a pill every day. And this is where PT is the answer.
Well, thank you, Doc. I really appreciate it. And I love your show. Whenever I'm able.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your call. Thanks for sharing this.
And thank you for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks. You too. You're most welcome. Take care.
Thanks so much for that call. Take care. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, it's time for the segment where an honest to Pete doctor unsheathes his medical machete, clear cuts his way through the clickbait, and takes on the mighty internet. This is Google Doc. All right, Zorba, this is a voicemail from a listener in Three Lakes, Wisconsin, but real quick here. I got to say something about Three Lakes, Wisconsin. It's a little town. It's like 2,000 people or so. It's a beautiful place.
Really? You've been there?
Been there a bunch. It's kind of near Eagle River in that area up there. And
are there three lakes in the town?
I think there's a lot more than three lakes. It's on a big chain of lakes, actually.
But they can only count to three?
I don't know why. I should know this. When I start talking about stuff on the radio, I should know what I'm talking about. Why is it three lakes? Yeah. Someone will chime in about three lakes.
Yeah, why isn't it five lakes?
It seems like it's a dozen lakes around there. At least. But it's got one of my favorite thrift shops there, St. Teresa's. It's this little tiny thrift shop. Everything's very reasonably priced. They have a punch card where you can, it's like a Subway punch card where, you can, if you buy enough things there, you get free stuff. It's a beautiful place. Just a shout out to the thrift shops in Three Lakes. Anyways, Brad, let's hear Three Lakes, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I see all these advertisements for vegetable pills and fruit pills. They're capsules. They explain how great they are to improve your health and your energy and everything else. You know, I'm thinking one apple, one orange, and one banana is as big as one of those pill bottles. And I only have to pay about maybe $1.50, $2 for that. And I get a lot more fiber. I think those things are a fraud. What do you think? Thank you.
You think right. Those things are a fraud. Absolutely. Do not buy those capsules. They are worthless. Buy an apple. Buy a banana. Buy some berries. Buy some real fruit. Forget that stuff. Right. You can get all the fruits and vegetables through pills. Really? Really? What are you, an astronaut, and you actually think Tang is orange juice? Of course it isn't. The answer is right. It is a fraud. Save your money. Use it in the grocery store. And at the farmer's market.
Is something you saw online a tough pill to swallow? Dr. Zorba will clear that right up. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. This is a listener in Utah.
I'm curious about sugar alcohol. I'm skeptical by nature, and all these foods that have the sugar alcohols make you think, oh, sure, I'll eat that. That's good. But I want to know the upsides and the downsides of sugar alcohol. Thank you.
Well, when they list sugar alcohols, what they're really listing is a type of carbohydrate. That's what it is. So you're not going to get drunk on sugar alcohols. It is not an inebriant at all, but basically it's a carbohydrate. So you got to look at it just like if you're a diabetic and if you're trying to cut down on carbs, if it has a lot of sugar alcohols, it's the same as having high fructose corn syrup. Not quite as sweet, but nonetheless sugary and carby.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, before we head out today, Zorba, we don't mind taking our lumps from the grammar police or getting into some healthy debate during our disagreeing with the doc segment, but...
But.
Always a but.
But.
Every now and then, it's just nice to hear we're doing a good job here,
okay.
Right?
I'll take that. I'll take that.
The following email came to us from a listener named Peggy, who lives in Viroqua, Wisconsin. Peggy writes, Zorba, recently I have developed burning, tingling foot issues. I'm 72 years old and I'm pretty sedentary, so I attributed it to spending much of my day with feet up in my recliner on my computer watching TV. I just purchased...
I've got to get the picture.
Yeah.
Feet up in the recliner...
On the computer and watching TV. I don't know if it's all at the same time.
Yeah, but you know, so we call that passive. There's no doubt about it, right?
Peggy continues, I just purchased compression socks thinking maybe that would help.
Sure.
Well, today I was heading out for some groceries. The radio was on in the car, and there you were, Zorba, talking to a truck driver about his feet. I took the long way to the store so I could hear your recommendations. I even pulled over. This is good. I even pulled over so I could put the name of the recommended gel into my phone. We always appreciate when people pull over instead of trying to write stuff while they're driving. I love that the trucker had you spell diclofenac.
Right.
So I went to the store and I found it. I've only put on my first dose, but I already feel relief.
Oh,
I will
wonderful.
Continue with it and I will let you know how it goes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think she's quoting you on the triple thank you there.
That is so nice. That is so nice. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right back at you, Peggy from Viroqua. All right. Has Zorba helped you out? Please share your story with us. You can post on our Facebook page, or you can always just send us an email at...
Zorba@WPR.org.
Will you come back and do this again next week, Zorba?
I'll try. I'll try. I'll try.
If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web.
At ZorbaPastor.org. Or, of course, you can find us through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime to leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.